Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Hier ist eine neue Folge von Radikal Glücklich, deinem Podcast für ein strahlendes, wunderbar gut gelauntes Leben. Dies ist Folge 267 und zwar Sarah Warner ist zu Gast und wir sprechen über Opening the Heart. After a short German introduction, there will be the English interview. Ihr hört es schon, das Interview nachher wird auf Englisch. Sarah ist Holländerin, sie spricht ein wunderbar langsames, schönes Englisch. Ich hoffe, ihr könnt alle viel davon verstehen. Ich habe die Folge sehr, sehr geliebt aufzuzeichnen mit ihr und ich habe sie gefunden über Instagram. Manchmal schickt uns der Algorithmus ja irgendwas hin und wir denken so, okay, interessant. Ich habe sie, glaube ich, tanzen gesehen. Das erzähle ich auch nachher im Gespräch. Und das hat mich irgendwie berührt und dann habe ich ein bisschen bei ihr gescrollt und gesehen, wie sehr sie das Weibliche für sich entdeckt hat, wie sehr sie gelernt hat, männliche und weibliche Energie zu harmonisieren. Sie nennt sich selber eine Priesterin. Sie arbeitet mit Energie, mit Pflanzenmedizin in ihrem Retreats. Gibt es sogar Ayahuasca in manchen. Es gibt eine Menge aufregende Dinge über Sarah, die wir rausfinden können. Und mich hat es so fasziniert, dass ich dachte, okay, ich muss sie im Podcast haben. Und diese Folge ist dabei rausgekommen. Du erfährst in der Folge, was wir tun können, was der erste Schritt ist, um männliche und weibliche Energien zu balancieren in uns, was wir tun können, um unser Herz zu öffnen und wieso das unsere Aufgabe ist, wie wir unseren Seelenweg finden, darüber reden wir kurz. Und ein paar private, persönliche Gedanken über Sarahs Weg und Einblicke gibt es natürlich auch. Und am Ende erzählt sie ein bisschen, wie du mit ihr arbeiten kannst und stellt ihre kommenden Retreats vor, die sich sehr aufregend anhören, muss ich sagen. Und sehr wunderbar. So, jetzt aber viel Spaß bei der Folge und schön, dass du hier bist. Danke fürs Zuhören und danke an Sarah für ihre Zeit. So, I'm happy and honored to have a beautiful guest online today, and it's Sarah Warner. Do I pronounce that right?
Sarah Warner.
Warner. Okay. Yeah. And I found Sarah, as I already mentioned in the introduction, due to the Instagram algorithm, and I love her work so much. Sarah, you have a beautiful content out there on Instagram. It's really inspiring for all women who want to connect more with their hearts and their body. I feel so. I would love for you to introduce yourself a little, what you do, and maybe you already want to share a little on how you found your work.
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful question. Yeah, I'll get into that. So I'm a Dutch woman. I live in Amsterdam. And I think my work is quite broad. So I'm just going to start a little bit on a little journey and you get a feel of what I do. And I think also that's a real big part of the feminine path. It's not like I'm an energy healer or I'm a psychologist. We just become this kind of expression of our soul and in our work, right? So I always find it a bit difficult. I probably say something different every time someone asks me what I do.
I know that sounds the same with me. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, right. Keeps it fun as well, I would say. But so I'm from a really nice family in the north of Holland. And my parents are both psychologists. My mom is a trauma therapist. So I was really raised in that kind of culture, really, really with interest in people, interest in why people work the way they do. And also with kind of a mission of that you're here to help and guide and give love to people who might have hard times. That's really what I grew up in. And also my parents are atheists. So that's an interesting little point about how I got onto this path. So fast forward, around I was 17, I started working as an international model. So kind of like following the dream of going from this small town. I traveled all over, kind of the whole thing, New York and Milan and everywhere for many years. And it was kind of this ideal of the beautiful woman, right, that we live in our society. And I became successful in that. And it was enjoyable in a lot of ways because it taught me the world and it taught me cultures and travel. And I was a very, very curious, hungry soul. But it also triggered some trauma in me. At some point, I started developing eating disorders and just body dysmorphia. And, you know, it's a tough world as well. And that kind of got me on the path of healing. I'm looking for, looking for myself again. And psychotherapy helped with that. It was really beautiful to kind of understand with my mind, my patterns, and, you know, I was being bullied in school, where that comes from, and the interest in that, which is great. But it just didn't click for me yet. It didn't fully click. So just over the course of the years, I started doing more mindfulness and yoga and just kind of into that area. But it was only till I discovered, the plant medicine, but mostly the feminine work and embodiment work, where I felt just I came home. It was like this big click of, whoa, like this is what I've always been looking for. This is the answer that I've always wanted. And I came home really quickly to my own power and to myself. And I also got the message in ceremonies very quickly, like, you're here as a priestess of the feminine. You've always been doing this. And in the beginning, I was like, what? What's the goddess? But she was very clear. And every time I heard it. And somewhere in my soul, I knew I was called back onto this path. But it took a while to step on it, because to claim the word priestess from an atheist family is a journey, you know, it's a journey. And I think all of us on this path are claiming back a name or you know, a soul identity in some kind of manner. So overall, the journey that I go through with mostly women, sometimes couples as well, is kind of the journey that I went through, the journey of forgetting who we are, forgetting we have a soul, forgetting our soul's mission, and rediscovering that through the path of healing. But not only the mental Western psychological way that my parents gave me, but also really the embodied feminine way and the, more energetic shamanic path as well. So I started to add those medicines to this beautiful, amazing package that I was given by my family. And one of the main things that I work with, besides the inner child work and shamanism and archetypal work and relationship work, is masculine, feminine energy and a big mission of rebalancing these energies on the planet and helping guide other women in finding their natural empowered balance they're born with instead of the conditioned one. And for me, that was really a journey of going from kind of this feminist mindset. I can do it all by myself. You know, I'm holding it together. I'm strong. To learning to be feminine. And it still is this delicious journey of unfolding that gave me so much and really opened this path for me.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I'm always stunned by similarities and then how passes still every is individual and fascinating. Okay, thank you for sharing. So let us talk about rebalancing feminine and masculine energies, since this, as we all can see, I think, is a problem in our world, to our systems being overwritten, as you said, conditioned to function more in a masculine world. And I can always feel it in my body, like my right side gives me signs and is always a little crampy when I try to do too much or stuff like that. That is always funny how the body communicates. So what are your greatest tips for women who want to start working with those energies? Where do we start?
Well, it starts with awareness and interest. So every change starts with awareness, everything, right? So you become aware, like, wow, these energies are real. They're very real things. They're not some new age term. These are the energies that it's basically the core energies of who we are, the primordial archetypes, I would say. It's who we are in our core. So it's to start becoming aware of that, and the importance of that is to start. And you start to learn about masculine energy, start to learn about feminine energy. I think it starts with the interest in that. And then the self-investigation of, wow, like, what actually, because when we hit that right balance, it just feels good. That's basically it, right? It just feels really good. And to see in the world, like, what if these energies were balanced? What would that be like? How would we treat the womb as the center of all creations, the most sacred thing? How would we treat Gaia and the earth? How would our political systems and banking systems differ? You know, how would wars be fought? Would they even be fought still? So to really start to get awareness of the crookedness in the imbalance of these energies, right? And then how that reflects in yourself as well. You look at your own past, be like, wow, like I feel burned out in some way, or I'm in a very pleasing, nice girl kind of energy that's also not empowered. So it really starts, I can speak about this a lot more, but it starts with gaining awareness on your own patterns, the societal patterns, and getting really honest with yourself, with what feels good and what doesn't feel actually like you in the core.
Yeah, that is so true. And yet, it sounds simple, but it is difficult for us, I feel, because what you mentioned, the nice girl syndrome, like the people pleasing. I'm turning 54 next month, and I'm like, it is still in my bones. I mean, I have to laugh about some of the moves I make and how long it takes me to really be in my power concerning some of the themes of my life. And it's just, if it wouldn't be said sometimes, it would be really hilarious. So what helped you to develop that strength, to find your center, to trust yourself, to move your own path?
One thing I want to say about that is that it's huge shifts for all of us, because we're shifting many, many lineage layers of patterns. It's big. It's a big energetic shift. It's not just like, I'm just going to step out the nice girl. And now, you know, it's big, the work what we're doing. And it's so beautiful that we start to have these tools, right? So, and it'll probably be our life's work. So that's totally normal and beautiful, right? I think it was just, unfortunately, sometimes we change when we're really sick of things, right? It's just how people often work. We really walk into a wall maybe 4 or 5 times and then we change. I think that is something that often happens. Right? At some point, it might become softer. You just go, let's look at that. Let's redirect that. But in the beginning, it was a harder lesson for me, for sure. But it was really about, I felt not good in my body. I felt stuck in my body. I didn't feel juicy in my body. So it was really just, it created an urgency. And I think when we feel an urgency, we start to move.
Yeah.
Right? The urgency. And then I just, I saw women who were like free in their sexuality, not seducing or numbing, but they could hold it. And I was like, I want that, you know, like, wow. Or they just dance, or just, there was just this glorious femininity about them that just felt like an urgency for me. Like, I want to feel that, you know, whilst being alive in this lifetime. And also in relationship was a big one for me. I felt just not fully met in what I wanted. And I started to be attracted to different kind of men through this work, because I was like, what do I really, it's about your deepest longings, right? The deepest your deepest longings, are, I believe, come from your soul, and they kind of come through you, like these beautiful kind of tentacles in the world. And they kind of guide you back to your soul, like these deep longings. And one of them for me was like, I want to be a free expressed woman. I want to be a woman who's on her mission. And I want to be, you know, in like a polarized, beautiful relationship. Those were urgent longings for me. And then when I looked at what I wanted in a relationship, I wanted to actually be softer. I didn't want to hold it all together. I didn't want to be the leading one. I didn't want that anymore. So in order to establish that, I had to shift something within myself. I'm like, wow, then I need to soften. Then I need to learn how to be inviting instead of in this action. Like I need to learn how to go into that feminine energy. So those are all really, they made it urgent for me because I longed for them so deeply, it almost hurt, you know? It was like this yearning to come home. And that gave me the strength to do it. So there was deep longing and also some suffering that brought me onto that path, you know?
I think that is for all of us, isn't it? That we, as humans, I think Eckhart Tolle once said that if everything would be right all the time, everybody would just be in a, laying in a hancock. Is that the right word?
Hammock, yeah.
And watching the palm trees and wouldn't want to evolve.
Right.
So evolving sometimes happens through life that is harder and we don't want the hardness anymore. But that was beautiful shared. Thank you so much. So when I was scrolling through your beautiful page, and of course, you guys, all the links to find Sarah and her work are in the show notes. But I saw that you also create spaces and help women to open their hearts more and connect more with not only their body, but with their true power, if I can say it this way. So maybe you want to share a little about your work on that, in that space, or of your own journey, whatever feels right for you.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, for me, the path to feminine is the path of the heart. And that means to live in love. And that sounds fuzzy, but it's kind of brutal sometimes because love is the truth of your expression from moment to moment to moment, the truth of your heart. And there's so many layers covering that through our conditioning, through shame, through fear. But that heart energy, that heart love, that heart expression is the feminine, right? It's feeling, it's emotion, it's intuition, it's ever-changing radiance of the feminine, right? Whereas masculine is more the frame for that, the frame, the focus, the container, you could call it, the awareness. So feminine work is about peeling back all these layers so that we can become broadly expressed again. Right. And often we're very small in our expression. We become conditioned, not too much, like balancing on that kind of width. Whereas in this path, it's about the opening of the heart and the truth of our heart. And that's a peeling back of all the layers, right? The peeling back of all the layers that armor that or numb that or feel like you need to hold it all together. And when we start to open the heart, the natural radiance, the natural guidance can start to come again. And the opening of the womb, it's another story, but it's always hard womb for women. It's like the two hearts of a woman, right? The two power centers. And this is really the ascension of the feminine, is really the descent from the head to the heart, to the womb. And the opening of these centers and letting our body guide the way, not our mind, not only our mind. You know, there's some of that. We're not, yeah. What I've seen every time again is that there's such wisdom right there in your body. It's a feminine oracle, right? You can call it too, the feminine oracle. It's her your intuition, your emotional knowing. It's your channel to the divine that we naturally have when we start to open and peel back these layers. And what starts to happen is that your truth starts to shine through, your soul starts to shine through, and it has a certain kind of blueprint, and it will guide you throughout your entire life, you know, in your mission, in what feels true and not. And that's kind of our job as the feminine, to offer our heart fully to our partners, to the world. And it's this feeling through our heart that wakes others up, that awakens our men or our partners, and that wakes the world up from this kind of mind numbness or this wounded masculine kind of pressure. It's really the opening of the feminine heart that will do that. You know, we can't do it through reasoning only. It's really the awakening of the heart. And the heart is connected to the soul. So that's one, that path. So I'm really passionate about helping women open that part, you know, because it's their power, it's their deepest power. So I will guide, that's a lot of guiding that I do, and deconditioning, but also learning how to express your heart, right? And not in a, not to keep it in, freeze it up, but not to spit it out. But how can you make, I call it the art of the heart. How can you reveal and express your heart artfully in the world, and live in the truth of that, you know? And so that's the opening of the feminine. And you know, it's also living in your cyclical nature and living in your heart and doing embodiment work. So that will open your feminine. But something that's often maybe not seen in that space is that we can't open that if we don't feel safe. The feminine can't open if she doesn't feel safe. So a big part of my work in feminine work, which I find important to not only work with the feminine, is actually work with finding safety and reconciling with the masculine. It's a huge part, right? So that there's a healing and reconciling with the inner masculine. I can hold myself on my own safe space first. I protect myself and my own encouragement, your inner king, and God, or the divine masculine outside of yourself, this energy that always has you and loves you and holds you. That's the base. If you feel that, if you start to reconcile with that, your feminine naturally actually softens. She goes, huh. You know, she's receptive. She likes to be penetrated with energy. So I found that, yes, we can open into all these feminine spaces, but you have to create the frame outside of yourself and inside of yourself so she can open in that way. And what often happens is we too quickly look for that in an external man, external masculine, which should be kind of last, right? So for me, that's really important that we anchor in our inner union first, before going into really deep feminine work where it doesn't feel really safe yet within ourselves, or stepping into a relationship where we haven't anchored in our own safety first. Yeah. Bit of a sad way there, but
it's beautiful.
It's an important asset that I find often a bit missed in the polarity kind of world.
Yes, and it was great that you mentioned it, because I feel that my work differs, of course, from yours, but I feel that when I look at my own journey, or when I look at the journey of my clients or students, that there is a bond between living in a unconscious fear that is conditioned or trained, the system feeling threatened in some way, and which leads to more running in life, more trying to control, more a masculine energy behavior to trying to, I don't know, create something where we have like an illusion, if we just run enough, we will someday be there and have the relief. And that is, I think, one of the big misleadings of our time.
Yeah, that's a really strong point, I think. It's the survival. It's a kind of a bit of a trauma response where we go into a survival, like overdrive of the dark masculine, kind of in the language that I use, but it's a survival strategy to be safe, which works for a while, till it doesn't, till we feel burned out or we feel, some kind of overworked kind of feeling it then gives. Because her feminine's knocking on the door. She's like, feel me, express me, come home to me, you know? She'll keep on doing that. Yeah. And then also to maybe not call that just masculine, but that's a wounded masculine. You know, the masculine, it's also a rewriting of what masculine means. Masculine is just, it's much more gentle. You know, it's really this safe space holder. And yes, he'll fight for you and get his sword out and protect you and, you know, pilfer you if he needs to. But it's, and there's a drive and a purpose, but it's much more like this kind of Jesus energy that is, it's very kind, you know, overall.
Oh, that's a beautiful distinction.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch topics. Might get a little wild now, but since we both agreed that we're going to do a short but spicy podcast together. So I saw you dancing. You dance beautiful on Instagram, of course, and embody your feminine. So your favorite dance song for us, please, right now. Is there one? Could you name one or two, maybe?
Gosh. what's the name again?
It's so fun. I send my questions to my podcast guests.
Maybe next time. There's definitely some songs that I dance to a lot now. Okay, I'll send them to you. You can put them in the show notes. I just forgot the name now. Yeah.
Just send me one or two for us so we can
get
some Sarah energy into our
Okay. I'll send it to you. I don't know exactly what's the name now because they're like Spanish names or Portuguese names. So I have to look them up, but I'll send them to you. They're like medicine songs with beats and like shamanic, yummy, fun. Like I'll send them to you. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and before we come into how to connect with you and your work, and you can mention some of the stuff that's coming up, because I already saw that there are beautiful things coming up for interested people. Sorry for my English, it's sometimes a little rusty. I have one question that kind of lingers in my head, and if it's too private, you just tell me. But since you mentioned that your parents are atheists, is that the right word? How are they connecting to your work? Or do you talk about that with them? Because I know how my parents connect to to my work, so I'm curious.
Like sister speaks for me, like a story you recognize yourself in, or...
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. I mean, that's been a big journey, and it's been a big journey. And it started with, you know, there was still, when I was a bit younger, I still wanted that, like, to be seen by them . And at some point, and I felt quite judged also by, you know, some people around me. And I noticed that it had to do with if I had fully just owned myself and eased into that and stopped judging myself fully, that was so helpful. Because then it wasn't the healing anymore I needed in my life. So I hardly received judgment anymore around me. So that was a big healing. It's like if you feel like a certain energy in your life, a lot of judgment or rejection, it's often because you're still rejecting or judging a part of yourself, you know. So that was a big lesson for me, like, wow, like, am I fully easing into this path and fully accepting myself here? So it started with that, but it was painful for a while, for sure. And I remember my mother, she came to one of my retreats, and I was nervous because she felt sad because we were losing a bit of connection, you know. And she came and she went into one of my embodied my breathwork journeys, and they're very specific how I teach them, and they're very strong. And I was like, oh gosh, it's gonna happen, you know, it's gonna a make or break kind of thing. And she went and she was crying at the end. And I was like she hated it or she loved, I wasn't sure. And it turned out she had an incredibly powerful experience where she, as a trauma therapist, went through a trauma she forgot about when she was little with my grandmother. And it really opened this kind of, respect for what I was doing. So I actually work with her sometimes now. So it's been beautiful. You know, she's an EMDR therapist and it works really well with embodied trauma work or more in attachment work that I do. So it really, we found our connections where we could. So they're open to the embodiment part. I think they can relate to that a little bit more. Masculine, feminine, they can kind of find their way in. But if I start to talk about like channeling or ayahuasca or something, I just lose them. So they're just
it's just to you that you talk with them about it. So
I do. And it's I mention it, but I don't go into super depth of wanting to connect to them. I've kind of, with certain areas, I kind of let that go a little bit. And thankfully, I have a younger sister who's on a similar path. So I think that's a big blessing. And, they're very proud. They see the devotion I have and the love I have. And they see what it's doing to women. And so they're very proud at that part. And some things I just, I leave out. So we found our way, but it's been a big journey for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. I know that was a very private question, but I was curious because I know my parents love me and yet they have a different approach to life or to view on things. So when I talk about my work, it's sometimes I get a lot of question marks in their heads. And so I try to keep it simple and not because they're dumb or anything, but just because it's a different world. And I think that is also showing an evolution that can happen through generations, and that is natural.
Yeah.
I see it with my kids too. They are on a totally different stage and do things naturally that I really had to kind of find my way into. So that's beautiful too.
It's there to teach us their own ways again, right? And yeah, I think that's a big part. If you choose a path of soul, it's not going to be easy. You're not choosing a path that's walked on before, and you have to be willing to kind of stand alone sometimes and to be kind of a soul shaker, lineage breaker, this kind of pioneer to walk it. It's a part of it.
Yes.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Beautiful sentence.
Thank you for doing that.
Sarah, thank you for doing that. Thank you for your work, for helping women, for doing the art of awakening us a little more. Mm-hmm. So share, please, what are the next things you are up to? Where can people join your work?
Thank you. I have quite some things coming up. So on the 8th of April, I have a online program called From Nice Girl to Womanhood. It's the journey from princess to queen. It's an embodied journey. So it's at the 8th of April, 6:00. You can sign up, which will be super fun. And then I have a retreat in April coming up, 17 to 22. I think we have two more spots, and this is a six-day portal of all of these layers. It's a beautiful place in Ibiza. It's incredible, an incredible group. It's really magic, from inner child to masculine, feminine, to sound healing, to archetypal work, all of these layers. It's a joy. And then I have two more retreats in May and June back-to-back, similar, but there was ayahuasca too. So then we weave in the feminine workshops with one night or two nights of ayahuasca, depending on the retreat. And so those retreats are a bit more low budget, and the April one is like a bit more luxury, yummy. So there's something for everybody. And after that, I have a year break. So yeah, that's it for now.
Beautiful, beautiful. Any plans for your year break, or will you just really let it flow to you?
I mean, I will continue, you know, what I'm doing now, still online, but I'm taking a break from, you know, 1 year of retreats, and then I'll come back. I'll come back for that. I still have my online temple program. It's just full for now, so I can't really. It will start again next February. So I have an online community that I work with, is women, but this one's full for now. You can sign up in May, and then you start in February. That's, you know, a big heart offering of mine as well.
So great. That's beautiful. Sarah, thank you so much for your time and your work. And I always have one last question I ask every guest, and what comes spontaneously. I don't share those questions, so I don't want the people to be too calculated in their answers. So is there a book, besides of your own work, but is there a book that you would really recommend the woman listening right now?
I really liked For This Path of the Feminine and How It Came to Be, Shakti Woman by Vicki Noble. Beautiful. Shakti Woman. And then the Magdalene Manuscript, if you want to learn about the, you know, sort of the masculine, feminine basics of it. Yeah, those are really beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Have a great day. And we will continue watching your work.
Beautiful.
Hopefully stay connected. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your work and shining your light so bright. And it was a really joy and honor to share some of my medicine on your beautiful platform. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Hey und pst, es gibt einen neuen Podcast von mir, der ursprünglich auf einer von mir geschaffenen Kursplattform nur zur Verfügung gestellt wurde. Er heißt Zurück zur Natur und ich beschreibe darin, wie ich ätherische Öle und Supplements nutze und was ich den Leuten, die das mit mir entdecken, rate. Wenn du also Lust hast, auf diesem Weg auch mir ein bisschen zuzuhören, dann findest du Zurück zur Natur überall da, wo du auch diesen Podcast findest. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.